Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney with Mr. Cole.
Hello, jeepers, you started that quick. I was like not even ready.
Well, we're all ready here. Cole.
All business
in the front and business in the back as well. So, hey guys, we are playing Eco currently, and we're going to talk a lot about that.
First time we
playing
a game while podcasting.
Pretty much. But you know what? Like right now, I'm going to talk about the PS5 because that just got a its logo revealed. Not like anyone didn't know what the hell it was, but we'll talk about that briefly, and then we'll get right into our Eco podcast. It's going to be great, and that's all coming up right now. Alrighty, so Sony revealed the logo for the PS5, and this article is kind of cheeky. It says, PS5 reveals its logo. It's a very nice logo. It looks a lot like the PS4's logo, with one key difference. The 4 is a 5. So,
Are you interested in the PS5? I mean, you're a big Xbox guy.
Yeah, I am actually very interested in the PS5 because Xbox One kind of didn't really do it for me much, and all the games I bought for it, I could buy on the PlayStation. The only key game that obviously I'm looking forward to is Halo Infinite, which is definitely what they're going to use to drive some console sales. Because I definitely think PS5 is going to win the next console generation. Much like PS4 won this one.
Xbox or Microsoft pushing a lot towards like the PC. The PC, because you can use that pass right now. The Game Pass can also be a PC Game Pass along with the Xbox Pass and the Xbox Live. You can kind of get everything for Xbox more on computer now.
Totally, and that's what I said in the last couple of casts. Like, if Halo Infinite's available for PC, then I'm definitely going to just not buy an Xbox. Will made a good point. I was chatting with Will today, and he said that, you know, I don't think that would be very smart of Microsoft. They're definitely going to use Halo Infinite on console to drive console sales.
Yeah, it would be kind of, it wouldn't be the smartest move to be like, hey, anything you can get on Xbox, you can now get on the computer.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, the new Xbox, everybody's joking that it just looks like a PC.
Yeah, it pretty much does. Alright, so just to get into the nitty-gritty of this article, which is on... I have to refresh the page because it's on... Okay, CNET. Have you heard of CNET before? Because I haven't. Am I just living under a rock?
CNET. I don't know. There's so many article things popping up. We just pick one and read off of it.
Pretty much.
We got to do some investigation beforehand.
Pretty much. Okay.
Like our Christmas podcast, we're like, this is going to be this guy's opinion. And then it was entirely his opinion.
It was like so opinionated. It was pretty strong. Okay, after a long...
Like when I play games with my brother... Yeah, go ahead.
When I play my games, this is how I really feel. Yeah. After a long
That's
build...
What we do.
Yeah,
what
pretty got? Pretty much. After a long build, Sony still didn't show off the much-anticipated new PS5 at CES. Instead, it showed us the logo. It isn't shocking, but it's pretty sweet. Sony changed the 4 to a 5, and it's rounder. Sony confirmed a holiday 2020 release for the new console. Instead of showing the new physical hardware, it confirmed a number of exciting specs, but specs we already knew about, such as 3D audio support and an SSD drive for faster load times. Sony announcements comes in on the heels of the debut of the Xbox Series X. Microsoft unveiled its new console, the main competitor to the PS5, at the Gaming Awards in December. Sony has previously laid out some of the details of the PS5, like the solid-state hard drive and the holiday 2020 release date, but Microsoft's announcement obviously raised the stakes. Like the PS5, the Series X will go on sale in time for the 2020 holidays, and it has similarly impressive hardware. So some of the hardware here, okay, here it is. So yeah, it's got 3D audio, haptic adaptive triggers, which I'm not sure what that is, ultra-high speed SSD, hardware-based ray tracing, and ultra-HD Blu-ray. Okay, so if they didn't include...
What's 3D audio?
It's,
3D audio? Is that like a...
Yeah, it's got more channels. It's like surround sound. It's like 5.1 surround sound, but
you can hear in 3D.
Pretty much, like it uses sound waves more creatively, so you can hear, like, if stuff runs behind you, it'll play it as if it's behind you versus if it's just in your headphones.
Oh, very interesting. Cool.
Yeah. And I gotta say, if any new age console came without an Ultra HD Blu-ray drive, like, fuck. Like, half the people I know that don't play games literally buy a PlayStation just to fucking play Blu-ray discs.
I think that was one of the big pulls for when I got my PlayStation, was I was like, I was getting all these Blu-ray movies that I wanted to watch, and I was like, I might as well get a PlayStation than just buying a Blu-ray machine.
Pretty much.
Blu-ray machine? A Blu-ray player?
I thought you were just making a joke.
I would like one Blu-ray machine, please.
We don't have those in stock, sir.
You're going to have to get a PlayStation 5 instead.
Yeah. All right, so hopefully we'll see, because the PS4 was revealed, actually physically revealed in February, and they did something similar where they teased it in January. So hopefully we'll see something similar maybe next month where they'll release the actual console. Or maybe they'll wait till E3 and totally bomb in with their PS5 design or something. I don't know. That would win them E3, I think.
The PS5 design? Yeah. I wonder if it's going to be as crazy as the Xbox One. You know, like, with the Xbox Tower, is this going to be like that? Is it going to be something drastically different, or is it going to be the same as the logo?
It's going to look like R2-D2.
Hey man, people would buy it. I don't know why people still just like drool over Star Wars. It's Star Wars, man. You got to see it. It's Star Wars.
Well, if they
stop
made
making
it,
them crappy. I haven't seen the new one.
But if they made it into an R2-D2 shape, like, people would literally buy it because it's R2-D2. Like, they would convert They would convert Xbox players for years to just buy the PS5, and then they could only afford one console because it's going to be $700.
Oh yeah. They're always expensive. It's crazy how expensive it is.
Yeah. Okay, so before we get into Eco, let's just drop a couple plugs on us. If you guys can visit our website, videogamesnow.ca, you got news, reviews, videos, and a post about the contest we're having right now on our Facebook page. You guys can comment the best team name for our esports jerseys, and you could actually win one with your gamer tag and number on it. For full details, visit our website, videogamesnow.ca. And you guys could join our Patreon if you want. You know, you don't have to, but you can. You should. And you get a couple, bunch of great perks like, you know, swag, and you get Cole's personal autograph shirt.
Oh man, my autograph changes. My signature changes every time I do it, so it'll be unique, everybody.
My signature never looks the same, like, ever.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm just like, I'm a really sloppy writer, so I just kind of like, my name is such a scribble.
Yeah.
So you can have a piece of paper with a scribble on it.
I thought
we're trying to get people to the Patreon, not scare them away.
Well, hey man, your autograph's like basically fucking iron ore in Eco. It's like a luxury.
Oh my god. It's rare as can be. Totally. And I'm the only one who's trying to find it. No, I guess you're trying to find it.
Well, I'm recording and you're trying to find it, but yes, I will join you after the podcast. Okay, so let's talk about Eco. So I joined the Eco Discord, which has a lot of great things going on there. And, okay, so for those of you who do not know what Eco is, it's basically a survivalist game, but it's definitely not one like you've played before. It's got, basically, you start in the world with nothing. It's a completely unpopulized planet. and you drop in, and Cole and I have our own private server on, the server's running off my computer, so basically I have to be online for Cole to play, which is kind of annoying, but we just wanted to start a game and play through it and experience it ourselves.
Yeah, I didn't realize what we'd be getting into, though. Like, yeah. You were like, hey, I got this game, Miko, and you showed it to me, because we talked about Minecraft a little bit. I'm kind of trying to make our little Minecraft thing for us to play, and you were like, oh, let's try Eco, it kind of looks like it, and then I was like, yeah, sure, we can try it, but it's like a full-time job. This game is no joke.
Yeah, it's pretty massive. So yeah, Cole and I basically started with nothing, and then we went and built our tent, and you have to use the resources.
Yeah, you start with a tent.
Yeah.
You start with anything else. Oh, in your tent, there's tools. There's like the basic tools. You get a pickaxe, axe, shovel, building hammer.
Yeah. But you have to use the resources on the planet to basically build everything. So you have to build a house, and you have to have a certain amount of, like, you have to have a fully completed room so you can build specific workstations in each room. And you have to, basically, the whole point of the game is you need to destroy a meteor that's on collision course with Earth, and you can set, I think it's 30 or 45 days, and these are real days. So,
that's what I was confused about. There's a day-night cycle in the game, and it says you have 30 days to advance through technology to try to find a way to destroy this meteor. And I thought it was 30 days in the game. So we were playing, and in like half an hour, we'd already gone through 2 days in game. And I was like, oh man, we're gonna run out of time.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's real. Like actual 30 days.
Yeah. We have 26 days left until our meteor impales our planet and kills everything.
I'm kind of worried. Like, I'm going back to work tomorrow. You're back to work yesterday or today, actually. So our play time's going to be cut down.
This game has absolutely consumed us. Like, I first played it on New Year's Eve, and I'm like, this game was freaking awesome, but I was drunk on New Year's Eve, so that sucked. So I started a new game, and then Cole joined me the day later. So me and Cole have been playing for 5 straight days, essentially. And we're
Well, so to give you an idea of the game, like, it's, if you've played like Ark is a great example, or The Forest, or Rust, any kind of game like that, like, it's like an open world survival game set in I would say it's pretty modern time. Like, it's very modern. Even the you advance through technological ages. Like, you start in the wood age, I guess. You build all your houses out of wood, and then you move to stone, and you move to iron, and then you get like bricklaying and glasslaying, and you build roads with cars and vehicles, but it's very slow progression. There's a lot of work you have to do to progress through it. So I think that's the thing that pulled me in the most, is like, I've played a ton of survival games, but after a point you kind of get to the end of it and you don't really know what to do, where this gives you a goal. You got 30 days to destroy this meteor, or everything you've worked towards is gone. And I thought that was a great pull for this game.
Totally. And it's every task takes for fucking ever. Like, I mean, that's a good thing. But it's like for example, I want a cart. Like, this is literally a conversation we had when we first started. Like, I want a fucking cart to put all my shit in, because I'm sick of carrying 20 logs over to my pile, going back and getting 20 more logs and putting it back. So, we wanted to work towards getting a wooden cart. So what did we need for that? We needed... Oh, you could build that on the carpentry thing or something. But anyways, to get this wooden cart...
Yeah, you have to build, like, each wheel for the cart, and... you have to like have a different bench. So you have the way you build things is you have to like build a table, like a work table, and you have to specialize in that work table. So you have to work towards leveling up to buy skill points to put into certain skills so that you can build the tables for it. So you can build things off of those tables.
Yeah.
And so Rodney has to learn how to build vehicles, so he learned the wheelman specialty, and I've learned carpentry so that I can build the wood for him to build his wheels, for him to build his cart. Oh my god, I'm exhausted just talking about this.
It's, yeah, like, I came to a point in the game where I've literally hoed the ground to plant seeds for 4 hours, and I'm like, why is doing regular shitty farm work so much fun?
Oh yeah, you kept saying that, like, I'm trying to chop down trees and you're like, this is like labor, physical labor that we could be doing in real life, but we're playing the game and it's more fun.
Well, it also takes out the shitty parts about doing it in real life. Like, if you cut down a tree in real life, you'd cut down the tree, which, if you did it with an axe, would take about a fucking day. And then you have to, like, take off all the branches, and then bucket up with a chainsaw, and then drag it with, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so many extra steps with this.
I want to unlock, like, a chainsaw in this game.
That would be sweet.
Using my axe.
That would be sweet. I mean, maybe this game's in beta right now, so maybe if the devs happen to listen to
also,
this podcast.
Also, we're like scratching the surface. Even before the podcast, we were looking some stuff up to like make sure we had our stats right, and we were discovering things that we didn't know.
Yeah, which would have been nice to fucking know. That's the other thing too, is like this game has a tutorial system in the beginning, which actually is one of the more creative ways to do a tutorial rather than, oh hey, walk here. Now push this button. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like a little bubble up in the top.
Oh, man, I was replaying The Witcher and the tutorial on The Witcher. I was like, I want to play the game already.
Yeah, totally. But you have the option to skip the tutorial completely, because the tutorial restarts every time you enter a new server. So if you've obviously played the game, or if you just want a challenge and want to figure it out on your own, you can just skip the tutorial, which is great. But yeah, this one was great.
But you can't start leveling up until you finish the tutorial. I noticed that. Is the leveling up system doesn't start until the tutorial is finished.
Until you finish building your house. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So if it has a tutorial all the way until you finish a room or a house or whatever. Something that you can actually build a work table in. So, but this game is so good. It's so freaking good, and I'm very, very happy with it so far. But we wouldn't have gotten as far as we did without the wiki, because even though it does have a tutorial system, it doesn't explain absolutely everything. And
still a lot written out.
Yeah, every time I go on the wiki, I learn something new. And even, like, just like you said, just before the cast, I opened up the map, and I haven't opened the map and really extensively looked at it. I've only opened it to put markers.
Before you get into this, the map extensively, the map's really cool because it shows, like, each planet is randomly generated. So you start a new server and it shows you your planet. So you click the map, and rather than like a 2D face down map, it shows you a 3D image of your world, and it shows you like all the different terrains. Like, it's a globe map that you can spin around. So, like, it shows where your camp is and where you are on the map and where all the trees are and what kind of terrain it is. So it's a really cool interactive map. But it also shows... What does it also show, Rodney?
So...
This is what you were getting into.
It also shows you information. So I'm just going to quickly open the game so I can talk about it live. But yeah, basically, I'm opening my map. I always set markers. You can set custom markers, and then the world leader can...
As the president, you can set markers.
As president of the world.
You have to vote for a president. Yeah, you have to vote for a president in the world, and then that president can, like, communicate with everybody along the world. But in this case, it's just me and Rodney, and my wife joined us to be a miner. We put her to work in the mines.
Yeah.
And so he just talks to us in person.
Just work in the mines. With no headset, I'm like, hey, tell her I need this. And you're like, okay, hey, can you do that? Yeah, it's good. Anyways,
oh, yeah, I could get her headset, but
yeah. Anyway, so environment data. So you're in the mini map. You open environment data, so you can open animals, basically biomes. I think that's how you say it. Hopefully, it don't sound like a tard.
Yeah, biomes.
Yeah,
no, biomes.
So you can literally look up where everything's being collected, and it's great.
Which is revolutionary, because we didn't know this before. Like, we were trying to evolve into the Iron Age, but we didn't know where to find iron. So we had, like, go around everywhere and look for iron and mine through mountains and through copper in certain areas. Sandstone to try and find it.
I literally had to mine through the wiki to figure out where fucking you could find iron ore.
But then we found out you can just look on the map and it'll highlight everywhere where it is.
It doesn't do ore, but it does on the wiki. It tells you where
areas where ore could be found.
Yeah, it like, for example, copper ore can be found in the is it the boreal forest? Yeah, it's the boreal forest biome, and it said on the wiki that it can be found between tundra and the lower levels of the tundra. And I'm like, okay, so I literally went there and just started digging in the rock, and I eventually found copper ore. So that was kind of cool experience for us. Because we had to actually think about it, and make a decision whether it's going to be, you know, a good idea to stay here and
worth it to go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in order for you to travel around your world, you have to like build roads and carts and move buildings. Like all of our stuff that we need the copper ore for is at home. And in order to move the copper ore, we got to build a bunch of carts to cart it all over there, or either build new houses over there to like start operation on it. So
yeah, it's pretty,
a lot of thinking involved.
It's pretty extensive. Okay, let's talk about the road system. So obviously it's raw, like, world, so it's not made for humans. So there's vegetation everywhere, and it's so hard to walk around and stuff with all the vegetation. So I eventually got this specialty for farming, or for gathering. So I got a scythe, and I'm basically just cutting down all the vegetation to make it easier to walk. But you can also build roads. So you can get a road tool and basically compact dirt to make a dirt road. But
I guess it's important to say, too, every time you're walking on a different terrain, it gives you a speed. So, like, when you're walking on regular dirt or regular road, it says you're walking at normal speed. But when you're walking in bushes, it minuses your speed. Or if you're walking on, like, a paved road, it increases your speed. So,
yeah.
You start with no paved roads and just bushes. So you got to cut down all the bushes so you can even walk normally.
Totally.
And then you can start building roads,
yeah.
Which takes forever.
Well, and then we started building stone roads, which you can place in the ocean and they somehow don't sink to the bottom. But hey, I'm not going to question the physics that are helping us.
Yeah, we're kind of we're hacking the game a little bit.
A little bit.
A giant bridge of stone that's just floating in the ocean.
It's totally floating in the ocean. With no railings, we've lost some carts with some shit in it. And then
let's take a rewind there. You've lost some carts with some shit in it.
Whoa, you lost one cart, but it didn't have anything in it.
I lost one small cart that was empty. You've lost like four carts. One was full of all my lumber.
Yeah, but I finally figured out how to dive.
You fished it out. You fished it.
Yeah, so I literally dived to the deepest depths of the ocean to fish out the shit in my cart. But.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But that was pretty funny.
Anyway, so we have these stone roads. So we built one from our camp directly across the ocean. And then it's linking up on the land. It basically shaves off because we were following the beaches. And
we were running through the beaches, through the bushes. Oh god, those bushes.
Yeah.
And like rock formations. It took forever.
It took so long, but this road literally cut out like 4 minutes of traveling, and it just immensely sped up our productivity. So
yeah. we were road boys now, we're bridge boys now. We got bridges going everywhere. Can you open your cart so I can access it?
Yeah, I will open the cart so you can access it. One sec here, I'm going to run over there. We're like now playing Eco while we're recording. But anyway, so the other thing... wait, you want me to move this cart?
I want you to open this cart so I can access it.
Oh, I didn't authorize you. Why don't we get into that now? So, so the nice thing about this game is... unlike... I've not really played Minecraft. So I'm just going to disclaimer that right now.
This is very different than Minecraft. It looks the same. Like, it has the very, like, everything is in a cube shape. Like, everything is very square. Your characters aren't square. Your characters look real. But, like, everything else is very grid formation.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing about Minecraft is people could just come and destroy your shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how most open world survival games that you can play online, most of the time they have that happen. Like in Rust or in Ark, people can just come and take your stuff if you leave it unattended.
So this game has added a property tool, so you can actually take a stake and some property claim papers and claim property. So anything inside your property, nobody can actually take or do anything with unless you authorize them to do it. So, I mean, Cole and I are working together, so, like, we just basically authorize each other to do whatever the fuck we want on each other's property so we can just get her done. So.
But if we were playing with other people, like, say we were playing on a server with 15 people and Roddy and I had our own town, we are the only ones authorized to operate in our town where, like, nobody can enter my house unless they have my property. Which is why I think this game is like very modern, like why you elect a president and you're supposed to have different communities all around the world. And there's like a trade system and a banking system. Like, it's very complex.
It's pretty complex for sure. But
the authorization system is really cool.
Yeah, I'm super digging that. Okay, so right now, here's where we hit a roadblock. And this is what I mean by, like, you need to
no
do one...
intended.
Yeah. You need to do one thing before you can do another thing before you can do another thing. So we desperately needed iron, because the next way for us to basically progress in our evolution as humans...
We invented the irony.
Yeah, so we needed iron ore. So I, of course, doing fucking no research on the wiki, found out that... you can get iron ore in sandstone. So we're like digging through sandstone, and then I finally come across iron ore, and I got really excited, and Cole got really excited that we found iron ore. Anyway, so we moved our whole base of operations over to the desert and started mining sandstone. Once we got a bunch of iron ore, Cole got a smelter going and started making iron ingots, and the smelter started putting out pollution, these little things called tailings, which take up storage space and you can't get rid of them. Oh yeah.
Which is a thing in real life, too.
It's a thing in real life, but here's another...
It's real life, it's a video game, but it's real.
Here's the funny thing about this game. You can throw stuff away, but it doesn't destroy it. It throws it on the ground. So when you as a human being can create garbage pollution. Anyway, so this tailing thing totally caught us off guard, and we're like, what are we going to do with these tailings? We don't want to be ungreen pieces of garbage. And
especially if we're gonna live on this planet forever and ever,
pretty much. So we ended up coming up with a plan to get rid of the garbage. Basically, you have to bury it underground. So we've taken our iron mine, we're just continuously digging down, and we're just putting our tailings down in our iron mine, which is actually, it's limited pollution by quite a bit, because you can actually look at a pollution thing on your map.
So kids, if you learned anything from this podcast, is when you have pollution, just bury it, just put it right into the earth, and it does no harm.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, this game's absolutely amazing.
It's very daunting. Like, if you like survival crafting games, but like, this is weighs heavily on the crafting side. Like, a lot of these games weigh heavier on the survival side. You know, where you have to like hunt for food and survive the enemies, like either the player enemies or the in-game enemies, where this doesn't really have any of that. Like, you can't die. You can hold your breath forever. I'm sure this will change. Like Rodney said, it's still in beta, but like, you can hold your breath underwater forever, so you can swim around the ocean floor and the wildlife doesn't hurt you, and like, other players can't kill you. But your race against the meteor smashing into your planet is like the big overwhelming or overarching enemy that you have in the game.
Absolutely. I think the other enemy, okay, there's like three bosses in this game. There's not actually bosses, but like, this is what I would
Iron
consider
Age, the Copper Age, and
I think the biggest boss for me is hunger. Like, fuck, it's just,
oh yeah,
like, it's such a good mechanic for you to be able to have to manage that as well, but it's so goddamn annoying.
In most survival games, when you are hungry, you starve to death. So you have to eat so you don't starve to death. In this game, you can't starve to death, but you can't do any work when you're hungry. So you have to constantly eat to continue to work. So rather than dying, you just like have to stand there, and you're be like, I'm too hungry to do anything. So you have to go back and find food and cook the food and eat the food and then get back to work, which takes sometimes forever.
Yeah. But, oh, that's not all. There's also a nutrition system in this game. So you're... It's such a good system. So you can gain more experience the more balanced your diet is, and based upon how complex, I guess, your house is. So if you build four rooms in your house and you have furniture in one room that's only for bathrooms, then that'll rank up your house. And then what's the other ones, Cole? I can't quite remember.
It's bathroom, bedroom, general room, and bathroom, bedroom, general room, and kitchen.
No, yeah, something. Anyway, so if you yeah, have
that's
a,
what they are.
If you have a completely balanced house, just like with all four of those rooms, then you'll get the maximum XP bonus. And same thing with your nutrition. If you have really perfectly balanced nutrition, like Cole and I have, essentially, you get the maximum amount of experience.
Which is like vitamins, carbs, fats,
and protein.
Calories? Protein.
No, protein. Yeah. So, yeah, it's great. And basically, I knew right from the get-go that I'd be the guy doing all the cooking. So I definitely did all the cooking. I'm max level
well,
in cooking.
Well, I did all the lumbering.
Yeah, then...
Lumbering?
The lumbering.
I chopped down all the trees for your fire, son.
You did. It was a good time. But yeah, this game is so complex. There's so many... So yeah, that's one of the real bosses, really, is like dealing with your hunger. The other one is your freaking...
But also, with the experience points, like when you're offline, the game, this game still goes. It's always going because you only have 30 days. So like, it's really helpful that trees will grow. So like, when you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I'm going to play some Echo. A bunch of trees have grown back that you can cut down, or the pollution has gone up, which isn't a good thing. But like, even though you're offline, you're still leveling up. So that's why you want to have your house at maximum balance and your diet, because when you're offline, you still level up. And it's so important to level up because you need points to put into your new skills to go into the next age.
That's it, yeah.
I just saw a deer kick over a tree.
What?
I've never seen that before. Yeah, there's a deer just like ran off and a tree exploded. Now I've got a bunch of wood on the ground.
That's new.
I feel like that was a mistake. Yeah. but it used to be a planted tree. Maybe it undug one of your planted trees.
Was it
just
a little
baby?
Oh, okay. Well, there's a couple. Here's one slight complaint I have about the game, and it's just that sapling trees grow in all the spots that are just not the right fucking spot. Like,
you'll clear a spot to like mine, and then a bunch of trees will just grow out of it, and you're like,
yeah,
get out of here.
There's one particular sapling that keeps growing in my way as soon as you get over our bridge to go home, and I'm like, God damn it. So I will dig the sapling up, put the dirt back, and then the sapling's gone. We'll turn around, grab my cart, and turn around, and the fucking sapling is back. And I'm like, I just got rid of you. Like, fucking go away.
They want to grow.
Yeah, but
which is good and bad, because you want the trees to grow back because you need so much wood to do anything. So a lot of trees growing is good, but it also grows right in your path where you're trying to walk.
Yeah, yeah. But that's such a minor complaint, honestly. And I'm just looking at this screenshot on the Eco Wiki, and it's pumping out some massive fucking CO2. Like, super massive. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. But it's good. This game also makes you think, you know, it's like you're trying to build this world, but you also want to keep it healthy, and like it's very, yeah, I know you're sitting at home on your computer, but it's you think about it, you know, you're thinking about like why we're making iron and like all this tailing, but like where do you put the tailing, how does it work in real life?
It's definitely
so
well. I can't say this for sure, because if you're an asshole to the world you're in, then it's going to become much harder for you to do anything, because all the trees will be dead. That no trees will grow.
Yeah, all the...
Right? Mm-hmm. But it's also harder for us as well, where we have to actually... We're trying to think green and be like, how can we... What's the greenest solution for this problem? Which, we're going to enter
my microphone.
No worries. Anyways, yeah, we're going to enter the industrial age, and it's just going to be pumping CO2 into the freaking atmosphere. Yeah, we're kind of screwed.
Yeah, all the animals are going to disappear, and we got to think of new ways to deal with stuff.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, this... I'm just so impressed with this game. And I've played this game. They were at Strange Loop Games, who's the developer, who's an indie developer. They were at PAX for, oh god, a while. Like, first time I ever went to PAX was in 2016. And they were there, and they're like, hey, we're making this game called Eco. And I was like, oh, let me check it out. And I played it for 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, this game is so much fun. And then I said, when's it going to be...
You can tell a ton of work has gone into it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And every year I went back
like,
it's very...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, every year I went to PAX after that, they were back there at the indie booth, and I'm like, oh, there's that game again. I wonder if it's going to get released. And I played it again and all the years, and yeah, I loved it every single time. And I can't remember what the dev said about it in terms of it being released. And I'm like, oh, I really want to play this game. I wonder when it's going to come out. And then just on a whim, I think I was just thinking about it a week or so ago, And I was like, oh, I should see if that game's available. And I saw that the beta was available since February. I was like, fuck, I could have been playing this since February. Fuck. That would have been good.
Yeah,
to...
it's definitely like...
Sorry, go ahead.
A lot of work's gone into it. You know, it's like they definitely took their time to release something that was... there's still a lot to be put in the game, I feel like. But we're also not that far in it. I feel like there's still a ton more that we have to discover and go through the ages. But I think they've released something that... is finished enough that you can like play through it and it's polished and it's fun. And so I'm glad that they waited rather than releasing something that was going to be buggy or incomplete.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's quite a few visual glitches, but like the visual glitches are fine. If the game works, it works. And that this game definitely works.
Yeah, sometimes you can see to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you just get launched to the bottom of the ocean.
Okay, if the devs are listening, here's a bug report. When you put stone road in the ocean, for us, where we're building a stone bridge, like, something happens where it starts to tear, like, the ocean, like, the water, the visual of the water. So, like, you can see through the water in random squares, and you can literally see the bottom of the ocean, like, it doesn't have any ocean color or any anything. So, that's super strange. But it only started...
Yeah, I think that... When we broke the game by building a giant bridge through the middle of all the oceans.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not gonna say that that's a bad thing, because I don't want to have to mine all that stone to fucking build supports into the ocean so that we can have a bridge.
Yeah, that would be kind of ridiculous, but very accurate. You know, it's like a lot of the things are very real. Rodney's like, oh, it takes forever to do this, or it takes forever to do this. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like... how it actually is, you know?
Yeah.
It takes time to do all these chores in the game. It's like it would take them in real life. So, yeah, the effort that got put in is really cool. We should open a Video Games Now world to, you know?
Yeah,
I agree. If anybody wants to play,
I agree.
Hit us up.
Let's finish our world first, and then we'll open it up. Or, I mean,
put like 30 full days into our world and then start again.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Like, I do want to start a new world on an actual server with more people, because it's just the three of us, but at the same time, I don't want all this... Like, we're literally would write off the last 6 days of our life playing this on this server.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way you can change the amount of people. Like, is there,
I don't
we
think
should
there
check
is.
That out. We should
we
see
should,
if there's a way.
Yeah, I'll check that out, but I don't think there is, because the game scales... In terms of like experience and how experience is gained, the game scales to how many people are allowed on the server. So you could do servers like we have, right? So like 1 to 3 people. Versus if you're on a server with 80 people,
experience pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. In a server with 80 people, you're not going to get very much experience, because it's basically pushing you to collaborate with other people and work together. This is a very collaborative, centralized game, which is great, because you don't see very
cool
many.
Yeah, it's cool how it's very collaborative, but also like it encourages you to have your own town. Like, we could have our own, we live in the forest where all the trees are or whatever, and we get all the resources from that, and then somebody else is over in a different, like, say somebody's living in the desert and that's where all the iron is, and we don't have authority to go onto their property and mine iron, so we're then gonna have to trade all of our lumber for their iron. So it's like you work together, but also you're doing it in your own town. You specialize in whatever your area has the most of.
Yeah, exactly.
Because right now, Roddy and I are specializing in everything. Like, I'm specializing in all of the lumber and all of the mining and all of the smithing, where he's doing all of the cooking and all of the road building and vehicle building. So this would be kind of spread out over a lot more people in bigger worlds.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing that I'm actually not sure about, and I think it's really only because I haven't really played... I played on one big server, but I only played for 10 hours or so. And I didn't get to a point where I could actually buy stuff or trade stuff. So you have your own currency.
We're just getting there now.
Yeah, pretty much. So you have your own currency, in a sense. So, like, I'll open up my thing and I'll have Taken Grace currency, which is my gamer tag. And then Cole will have Elok the Wizard currency. It's like, how the fuck do you trade... Like, oh, I'll trade you 5 Taken Grace currency for 5 Elok. It's like, what the fuck? I don't get it.
Blips and chips. Yeah.
So,
oh, hey, I just found gold.
Nice. So yeah, I mean, I don't understand it because I haven't had to deal with it yet, but I'm sure once I have to deal with it, it'll kind of make more sense. Because everything in this game here makes perfect fucking sense. Like, they have a...
Yeah, that's what I mean by it's very polished, you know? Like, it seems like there's obviously some things that are missing, but everything kind of makes sense together, yeah. So I'm glad they released the game like that.
Totally. Oh yeah, okay, so you have your tools, which get upgraded over time. You can get iron ones and steel ones and stuff like that.
Deal.
But they also have durability. So that's one of the second bosses is what I would consider. So you have you have to deal with your hunger, which I'm hungry right now. And then you have to deal with your tools' durability. And you also have stamina, right? So if your stomach's full, then say you have a really shitty axe and you're cutting down trees. Like pretty much one swing takes 100 of your stamina away, which is a lot. So by leveling up in each specialty and having fully like durable tools or a stronger tool, you'll actually use less stamina per swing, and that really, really, really helps you out, especially later in the game when you got to move. Like me and Cole have moved like a literal shit ton of fucking stone and bricks to get to iron ore. It's just fucked. So yeah,
like it's crazy.
I didn't really realize how much work went into. Like, we think this is a lot of work to mine iron ore. Like, back in the day, they had to actually chisel fucking rock. Goddamn.
Gotta find it. Gotta find that iron ore.
Gotta find it. So, yeah. Like I said, Eco, you can get it on Steam right now, I think, for 15% off. Let me just double check that before I sound like a...
Yeah, that was like the Christmas sale was 15% off. Yeah,
but I saw it the other day. It was still 15% off, but I'll check her out. Home.
Yeah.
Eco manage. How do you do that? How do you go there? Recent games
on Steam.
Yeah, like I just want to go to the actual. What do you call it?
Oh, just search it in the.
Yeah, you're right. I'll just search it like a new age pirate. Just kidding. Wizards, the new age wizards. That's what we are. That's what that. You know what? Why the fuck is our team name?
Oh, it's back to full price. It's back to full price. $33.99.
Is it okay? All right, well, it's $33.99, and...
You missed out, everybody.
I mean, you know what? I've put more hours into this game than I have Call of Duty, and, like, I almost... Like, the new Call of Duty came out in what? Like, end of October or whatever? No, it was the end of November. I put 30 hours into that game. I've put 60 hours into this game in, like, not even a week.
60 hours.
60 hours into this game. In
60 hours. I mean, since you got it, you haven't stopped.
I know, but I've left it online for, I think, 8 hours for you to... Because it's hosted on my computer, right?
So yeah.
So...
And, like, you'll go to bed, and I'll play for a little bit longer, and then I'll go to bed, and the game will just sit on for an extra however long, so...
Yeah, but which I found out, by standing there and doing fuckity-fuck-all, it burns all your fat and all your protein. I had literally no fat or protein left when I came back on. I was like, oh, shit, so I just got to eat a lot of meat. Like, a lot of meat. So it was a good time. But yeah, Eco. So, guys, definitely check this game out. It's amazing. And I would love to see you guys online.
If we get enough people who are interested, maybe we could start a Video Games Now world, you know? Like,
yeah.
we could have, like, a collaborative world with however many people in it. See if we can destroy the asteroid.
Destroy that asteroid before it destroys you.
Where we're at right now. You can see the asteroid in the sky. Let's see if we can find it right now. Oh yeah, you can see the asteroid impact in 27 days, 6 hours, 48 minutes and 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And it just spins around.
And constantly reminding you of how fucked you are. And how much
it's pretty funny.
How much faster you got to work. So, all right. Anyways, so yeah, that's basically been mine and Cole's life for the last how long has that been now? Yeah. I started playing last Tuesday, so
yeah.
Or no, not last Tuesday. Oh yeah, last Tuesday. So yeah, there you go.
I feel like we've come a long way, but we have a long way ahead of us.
I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at the screenshots here. Like people have like super complex industrial brick buildings, and we have like wood fucking shacks.
Yeah, that's another thing with your house. You have to have a certain tier level in order to do certain workshops. So like, if your house is built out of brick, it's higher than a higher tier level than it's built out of wood. So I was trying to make everything look pretty by mixing it with wood and stone, and it was like, nope, just build it all the same material.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so we just found that out because I built a machinist table, and it was not able to work unless it was in a tier 2 room, which we found out lumber produces a tier 2 room versus wood, which is 1. So yeah, there's so much you got to worry about it though at this game. But now Cole and I just speak the same language. He's like, I need this, and I'm like, okay, and then I know exactly how to do it. So yeah, it's good.
So I feel like if we did start a new world with a bunch of like new people, it would be very interesting to see how differently we would approach these situations than we have at the beginning.
You know what? I said this while we were playing. I'll say it on the air now. I would absolutely love if when this game's fully released to see like a side by side server team like speed run of this game. Like, how fast can you beat this game with a collaborative group of like 20 people? You know, like, that would be super fucking exciting to watch. Mind you, watching a bunch of people like chop down a bunch of trees probably isn't that exciting to watch, but just the team dynamic of that would be absolutely amazing to watch.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting too. Like, speed running this is very it's a very strange concept, but it would be very fascinating to see how it would work.
Oh yeah,
because it takes so long to do anything. It takes so long to advance through all the ages and to build all the materials you need and like to work together. You need like 10 people. Like Rodney and I are each specializing. I'm specializing in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm specializing in 10 things right now.
Yeah,
but if there was 10 of us, then I would be specializing in 2, maybe 3 things and like trying to master those 2 or 3 things rather than doing 10.
Yeah.
I've got like hewing and bricking and mining and lumber and smithing and glassworking and bricklaying and endless.
I also have 10, and the only one that I have the same as you is mining, because like we need fucking iron ore like a motherfucker. So
yeah, iron and copper. You need copper to do machining. Machining?
No, mechanics? I need iron right now. Like everything I need to make, I want to get you a concrete kiln so you can make concrete and we can get rid of all this fucking stone that we've dug up, and it's just so sitting here. There's so much stone. So much.
We could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is when we're making all these mines to try to find iron, we get all this sandstone and granite and limestone, and we got to turn that all into regular stone or turn it into building materials, and then it just piles up, and now we've just got like mountains and mountains of stockpiles filled with stone that you can't get rid of.
So my special,
throw it all in the ground, turn it into garbage right now. Garbage, all of it.
So my specialties are mechanics, basic engineering, mining, advanced campfire cooking, tailoring, which I didn't really need to learn really. Yeah, I've advanced. Well, yeah, that's like the first thing I ever learned was advanced campfire, and it's still not level 7.
So level 7 is the max. So once you reach level 7, you have to learn the next steps. So my first one was hewing, and then when I got to level 7, I could learn, logging. And then once I reached level 7, lumberjacking. That's what I am. I'm a lumberjacker. Hewing reached level 7, then you can read logging, then I got to get that up to level 7. Now I'm learning lumbering, which I'm at level 5.
And then there's a secret level 8 that's lumber sexual, and Cole's almost there.
I'm almost a lumber sexual. My lumberjacking is almost paid off. And then it's very, very complex. But then everybody gets self-improvement, so self-improvement is how you level up when you're offline. And then you can specialize even in that. Like, I got to pick, once you get to certain levels in that, like as a logger, as a lumberjacker offer, I learned cleanup crew. So my destroying tree debris no longer costs additional calories. So I can destroy certain tree bits without being as hungry using lower tier equipment. So,
yeah.
Hey, if you want to think a lot, if you don't want to turn your brain off while playing video games, then this is the game for you. If you want to have big Einstein minds, then come be Einsteins with us.
Yeah, totally.
Because I'm exhausted from thinking. I need people to come help think for me. Somebody else has got to take over this damn iron mine. I can't mine iron anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
That's a lie. Here I go back at her again.
I'm absolutely exhausted talking about this game. It's just so extensive, and there's so much going on.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface, but like it's at the point where if you're hooked, if this sounds like something that you're interested in, then check it out. And if it's not, then not every type of video game is meant for every single type of person.
But check it out anyway.
If you like to, yeah, check it out anyway.
So,
because I think these guys are like, I think for an indie game, so much like love has been put into this game, and it just it shows through and through. So, like, yeah, check it out, or even give these guys some support. Go check out whatever their pages or anything, because yeah, a lot of, I mean, there's so many good indie games right now, but this is definitely not lost in the pile of endless good indies. This, I think this kind of stands above quite a bit for survival games, survival crafting games.
And yeah, it's great. It's only $33. So, and yeah, like I said, I've dumped so many hours into this game already. And yeah, it's good. I'm very, very impressed. So thumbs up.
I'm excited to see what the replay value is. Like if we do start a new game with some more people, I'm excited to see how that dynamic is going to change. I think the replay value comes in playing with more or less people. If you've only ever played with, like, you know, 15 people, then maybe you only got to do one thing rather than trying a whole bunch, you know? So going back and, like, picking new things to specialize in and being a bricklayer instead of a lumberer, or making glass instead of vehicles could be a whole new fun thing to try. So,
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to make a video on this probably after we finish our first world. So check out in 30 days. So check out our YouTube page. Might as well hit subscribe, and then you guys will know when it's coming out. And other than that, we're going to obviously release this podcast. We're going to get right back into the game. And so check out our website, like I said, videogamesnow.ca. And leave a review on whatever you're listening to our podcast on, and let us know what you guys think of this game, if you've played it. If anyone came over from the Discord, welcome, thanks, welcome to the show, subscribe. And we hope to see you guys next week. We're going to sign off now. Right, Cole?
Yeah, sign off, and we got a world to save.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to...
I also got to start work tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to mention, like, this game was kind of released at a good time, like, while this Enviro crisis is happening.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, roll over Greta. We're saving the world now, Cole and Rodney.
I literally said that. The world, I literally said this game's got makes Greta look like a fucking potato. Because it does. Because it's like it's through video games. It's kind of educating people about our impact on the environment as just straight humans.
Yeah, it's funny joining this game and just seeing how many forests we've eradicated just to build. Like, to build, we have, what, three houses? One house for you, one house for me, and then my wife's been playing with us, and one house for her, and we've eradicated, like, we've built bridges to entire islands where we've cut down all the trees and all of the the grass just to build our three houses. Not even including our mines or our roads or our lumber mills.
Oh, yeah. It's... And I'm excited to show the before and after photo of, like, when we were trying to choose our very first spot to set up camp. We're like, oh, I don't know about this spot, and yada yada. Like, it doesn't look a fucking thing like it did when we first started.
Yeah, it's changed. It's come a long way.
Yeah, so. Okay, guys, well, we'll sign off here. Thanks for listening, and check out Eco by Strange Loop Games. Very, very good game, and you will lose. It's addicting as shit. So...
Okay, yeah, guys. You can get it on Steam. I don't know if you can get it on anything else.
I don't know if you can either, but anyways, okay, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.